Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
Let me read scripture. So I'm just reading from Isaiah 66, from verse 1 to 2. And I'm going to read from two versions. I'm going to read from the NLT, and I'll go to the Amplified version. And Isaiah 66 says, "This is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that?" It's a solid question. Think about it. "Could you build me such," I want you to catch this, "could you build me such a resting place? My hands have made both the heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken." So God's making very clear that he's created everything. So if you try to build him something, like, good luck. But then continues to say, "I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, those who tremble at my word." And in the Amplified version, it says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me? And what kind can be my resting place? For all these things my hands have made, and so all these things have come into being by and for me, says the Lord. But this is the man whom I will look and have regard. He who is humble and of a broken or wounded spirit, and who trembles at my word and reveres my commands." So the title of the message this morning is Rest in Place.
Come on.
Come on, everybody say rest in place.
Rest in place.
All right, let's pray. Father, we just come before you this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Holy are you, God. You're so holy, Lord. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you have destined today to be a stake in the ground in the west, God, where you descend and rest and do what only you can do, God. Lord, I pray for open hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come against anything, God, that would cause your children to not receive your word, God. I come against that in the name of Jesus, God, and we speak into the atmosphere, God, just a humility to receive and a humility to respond, Lord. So, Lord, I ask you, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you come and do what only you can do, Lord? I am just a man, God, delivering your word. You, Holy Spirit, are the teacher. So would you come and do what only you can do, Lord? And we trust in you. We're very confident in you, Lord. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. And I'm gonna actually, I feel the Holy Spirit say this to just, as I'm just delivering the word, we're covenant family. If something, because it's his article at the end of the day, it's not even mine. So if something even 5 minutes in strikes your heart and you feel like you need to respond, this altar's open.
Come on.
It's not gonna be weird. I ain't gonna look at you weird. All I care about is you doing business with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, come on.
So this is open ground to respond. Is that right? Are we in agreement?
Amen.
Good. All right. So I'm going to start by reading you guys a story. In one of our evening revival nights last year, we had Pastor Carol and John Arnott. They were part of they're the guys who literally led the Toronto Blessing, Toronto Revival. And yeah, we had them at the end of last year for a revival meeting, and they blessed us. They came and just imparted what they carried and just blessed us. So I'm actually going to read a bit of their story just to preface this sermon, then we'll continue from there. So in 1986, whilst Pastor Carol and John Arnott were pastoring their first church in Stratford, Ontario, they felt the call of God to plant a second one in Toronto. They planted in 1988. And by 1992, they had run dry through ministering daily, counseling, and doing inner healing and deliverance with people. People were growing and maturing, but it took several years for them to become relatively free inside. Somehow battling the darkness had become the focus rather than dispelling it with light. Catch that right there. Inadvertently, the devil had become too big and God too small. Then that same year, an evangelist with an anointed ministry came to town. They saw a big God who is able to save, heal, and deliver. The lame walked, the blind received sight, deaf ears were opened, and about 1,000 people came to Christ.
Wow.
Most of all, in their own words, so in the heads of Pastor John and Pastor John and Pastor Carol, they fell in love with Jesus all over again. Powerfully touched by this experience, they said to God, "That's what we want, Lord." As they prayed for God's direction, they felt him say, "If you are serious, I want you to do two things. Commit your mornings to prayer and interact with those who are anointed." That's what they got told by the Lord. They took all of this on board, canceled engagements, and began giving mornings to the Lord. They worshipped, read their Bibles, prayed, and spent time with him for a year and a half.
Wow.
And they fell in love with Jesus all over again. Then breakthrough came in 1994 in a series of meetings led by a visiting Reverend Randy Clark. He's this amazing teacher on all things just healing. The Father's blessing fell on the 120 people attending that Thursday night meeting on January 20, 1994. Prayer meetings are amazing. You never know what you're missing out if you don't show up for a prayer meeting. I'm just going to say it.
Come on. Brilliant.
People would laugh, roar, cry, and become so empowered that emotional hurts from childhood would just lift off. Some people were so overcome physically by God's power that they had to be carried out. These meetings continued for 6 weeks. But within days of them starting, news had spread all over the world. People streamed from all over coming to Toronto. Among them were many pastors and Christian leaders. They received prayer themselves and carried the anointing to their own nations and denominations. The newspapers in England dubbed this anointing the Toronto Blessing. You know it's a move of God when a newspaper is obligated to write about it. And the rest is history. Since that day, 2 million people have visited to simply catch the fire and spread the fire. So I'd love to submit to you tonight that this is not just a sermon. This is a prophetic word from the Lord.
Come on.
And Numa West, if that's what it looks like to have the Lord rest in a place, I want to submit to you tonight that God wants to rest in the West.
Yes.
Come on.
God wants to rest in the West. Is that all right?
Yeah.
So going back to the scripture that we just read in Isaiah 66, the Lord says, this is in the Amplified Version, he says, "But this is the man who I will look and have regard." So look and have regard regarding his dwelling. Yeah. Regarding the place you read. So we have to ask, like, I naturally just ask a lot of questions. That's why it takes me forever to read the Bible. Like, I have to ask, like, what does that even look like?
Yeah. Wow.
What does it look like when God decides to look and have regard upon you?
Yeah.
So look, we need to establish a couple of things first. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent, right?
Yeah,
we agree. Like Psalm 139:78 says, literally, this is David speaking, and he basically says, "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you." So fine, God is omnipresent. But I'd love to submit to you something this morning. That, and it's a challenging thought, that God isn't necessarily looking or having regard on everyone. Yep.
Wow.
You get that silence. It's okay. And I'll explain. Right now, I'm in here, right?
Yeah.
And I'm speaking on a microphone, right? And we're together. So are you in the room with Rue?
Yes.
Are you in the room with Rue?
Yes.
Cool. Then, if I come over here, hey, Rich.
Hey.
How you going?
Good, thanks.
I was kind of omnipresent, but somehow I just had regard for this guy.
Yeah.
Because he decided to meet with me face to face. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it right there.
Yeah.
Come on, Rue.
That's it right there. This is what God is saying. Like, yeah, he is everywhere. But there is just something about being deliberate, about pursuing God, where you sit down with him and seek his face. You know, Jeremiah 29:13 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll find me. This is an omnipresent God talking. So saying, hey, yeah, I'm omnipresent, but you actually need to look for me. Come on, let that sink in. It's very sobering. So here's the thing. God is looking to be found. He will look and have regard on those who are willing to find him. You know, Proverbs 25, verse 2 tells us that it's God's privilege to conceal things. This is actually the scripture of my life. Ever since the day I heard it, like, it stuck with me. I should get a tattoo of it. Seriously, it will probably happen. But it says, it's God's privilege to conceal things, and it's the king's privilege to discover them. You're the kings.
Wow.
In other words, if I'm to interpret that for you, God is saying he doesn't hide himself from us. He hides himself for us.
Come on.
That's what a relationship looks like. You know, God wants to be found. He wants to be sought, you know. You know, if you're in a relationship with your better half and you don't try to woo them, is it even a relationship? So here's the thing. If we're willing to find God, God is willing to rest amongst us. It's just that simple. Then continuing with this passage, God gives two conditions. Now, I used to struggle just as a person growing up, because I know God is good. I used to struggle with the fact that God actually gives conditions. But that's relationship. You have to participate. Yeah. If you're not willing to participate, sometimes nothing happens. Yeah. You know? So yeah, God gives two conditions. And the first condition he gives is a humble and broken spirit. Everybody say humble and broken spirit.
Humble.
Yeah. So I'm from Zimbabwe. I grew up in Zimbabwe. And back in my home country, has anybody ever heard of the Zambezi River? It's one of the, I think it's the third biggest river in Africa. One of the seven biggest rivers in the world and everything. It's beautiful. It's majestic. At the end of it, you've got the Victoria Falls. It's just amazing. So I grew up in Zimbabwe, and I had the privilege of just going on holiday there with my parents. You get in the middle of the lake. So that river, what happens with that river is that at a certain point in that region, they realized that they didn't have enough power in the country. So what they decided to do was build a hydroelectric plant. What is that? You know, some of you are asking. So what it is they'll look for a river that's flowing through two valleys. So as it's flowing down, what they do is they'll block the river, quite literally build a wall so that the water just gathers up and you've got a dam. But then to produce electricity, they'll put what you call generators in that wall, but at the very bottom of the wall, so that the water that's coming from one side gets into the wall, falls all the way down to the generator. So when it falls to the generator, like, it turns a turbine. So the force of all that water turns the turbine, produces electricity.
Wow.
Then that electricity goes out to all of the land, and you can even sell it to other nations, so to speak. What's amazing about that is the engineers say that concept only works dependent on the distance of where the top of the water is and where the generator is. If the distance is too short that the water is falling, it produces nothing. There's not enough force.
Wow.
Here's the thing I want to submit to you this morning, that water just naturally flows downhill. So water flows to low places.
Wow.
Are we staying low?
That's
why God asks for a humble and broken spirit, because you must get low to receive the river of heaven in your life. Come on. I'm here to tell you this morning that you and I are heaven's generators. But there's a condition. We must lower ourselves to receive from the river of heaven. Otherwise, nothing happens. Yeah, water always flows downhill. There is nowhere where I've seen water flowing uphill. The river of God can only flow downhill. Therefore, we must humble ourselves. Yeah. Otherwise, we're stuck in works.
Yeah.
We must stay low. We must stay low. And humility is literally the ability to stay low.
Come on.
If you stay low, God will rest. It's just that simple. And here's the thing. We've just come out of consecration season. Consecration is literally humility in action. Consecration is just going low. It's just us corporately going like, hey, guys, we need the Holy Spirit. Let's get low. Yeah. Let's get low and we'll receive. Yeah. You know, the other day, all right, I'll leave that example for a bit later on. So biblically, humility is total dependence on God. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less.
Come on.
What does that mean? For me, it means like on a day like this, where I have to serve in this position, it's me going, God, I thank you. Like I'm a, you know, the Holy Spirit in me is treasure in a broken vessel, but I depend on you. I am dependent on you. I know I've been saved. I know I've been redeemed, but guess what? I am still dependent on you, Holy Spirit. That's what it looks like to think of yourself, Liz. Humility is crucifying your flesh.
Yeah.
Just prioritizing God over everything. And James puts it so well in James 6:10. He says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. So here's the thing. The ultimate expression of humility and contrition of heart is, from what I've seen in my own life, the ultimate expression of humility and contrition of heart comes when we pray and fast.
Yeah. Wow.
Let that sink in. You cannot be wholly dependent on God and not pray. It makes no sense.
Yeah, that's right.
It absolutely makes no sense. And I'll go a little bit further to say you cannot be wholly dependent on God and not pray and fast.
Come on.
Because if we're not praying and fasting, essentially we've become dependent on ourselves.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's one of two. Either you depend on God or you depend on him. And I bumped into those random factors I was reading. And this is actually written up by a guy. He did research on the early church, a guy called Thomas A. Terrence. He's the president of the C.S. Lewis Institute. Man, you know you're a good teacher, preacher when they build an institute and put your name on it. Like, it's crazy. But he says that, and this is a fact, in the early church, fasting was highly valued. Those who could do so fasted on Wednesdays and Fridays until 3 p.m.
Wow.
And it got me thinking, the early church, have you ever noticed how in the New Testament, I'm yet to bump into it, I could be wrong, but have you ever noticed in the New Testament, there is no mention of the word revival, not at all. Could it be that their lifestyle was so low to the point where they didn't need it?
Wow.
That was their daily. That was their daily. Because this is a church that fasted every week, twice a week.
Wow.
Until 3 p.m. without fail. They knew where their power came from.
Yeah.
They knew where their strength came from. And I'm here to submit to you this morning that God is calling us to get back to that place where we know where our power comes from, where we know our strength comes from. Because the calling that is on our lives, the calling that is on this church, will not come to fruition without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We just have to make peace with that.
Yeah.
It will not happen. Our good works will not achieve anything at all. Trust me, I drive on the roads in the West in the morning, and I've just realized even trying to be good in myself, it just never works. I just end up sitting in the car and just repenting. I'm like, God, help me. Help me. Bless that person. They cut me off. Bless that person. They almost hit me from the rear. It's just, look, we need the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm getting to. Is that right?
Come on.
It's all good. But then the most confronting thought that comes with that is that if prayer and fasting is humility, like I've said, obviously the opposite would also be true. Prayerlessness is pride.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to repeat it again. Prayerlessness is pride. I said it. You can quote it. Prayerlessness, when we do not pray, or I'll add fasting into that too, when we don't pray and we don't fast, we're ultimately saying to God, hey, God, you know what? You said you'd give me the power, but I've got this.
Wow.
I've got this. I can handle this.
Preach, come on.
And the thing is, we live in a time and we live in a time in a world where the ways of the world are such that we're addicted to self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
Because we've been told that if you're self-sufficient, you're strong. Mm. But can I just suggest something to you this morning? When you are self-sufficient, it actually says that you're not... self-sufficiency is not Christianity.
Yeah.
It's just simply not Christianity. That's just the way of the world. So yeah, God is really just turning our hearts today and just calling us back to that place of just dependency on Him and Him alone.
Yeah.
Mm. And the truth is just that God cannot... I mean, here's the thing. God is God. He's a good father. You know, you can come to church. I'm just going to be real. You can come to church, you know, go through the motions and everything. And, you know, to some regard, you'll still bless because he's a good father. He's got to start somewhere. That's what good fathers do. But past a certain point, there's not much he can do. Yeah, not much laid down, not much he can work with. It's that simple.
Yeah, wow.
Yes, there's his sovereignty, but then there is your participation that's needed.
Yeah.
And that can only happen if you go low. And I'll back up what I'm saying with 1 Peter 5 verse 5. It literally says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. I mean, it actually really scares me. And I find myself in so much repentance when I'm not dependent on God. Because I'm going like, God, you just don't like. It's not only he doesn't like pride, but he actually opposes the proud.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about you, man, but I don't want to be opposed by God.
Nah.
I did not sign up for this. I was lost for too long to get saved and still be opposed by God. Not happening. Not happening. I would much rather lay my life down and lay everything that I consider dear to me just for the sake of knowing Him.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of heavy on, but don't worry, we'll get there. There's good news. There's always good news. It's the gospel. Yeah, and I remember this one time, actually speaking of praying and fasting, I've got a friend of mine at City Campus. His name is Prabhu. Some of you might know him. He's a brilliant bass guitar player. And this would have been maybe 4 or 5 years ago. We were coming out of a prayer meeting, and I remember just seeing him just limping because he was playing on a stool, right? I was like, okay, that's odd. Then he's walking out of City location, and he's got a limp. It's a bit of a limp and everything. And I'm just going like, what's going on over here? So, you know, I see him, you know, brotherly hug and everything and whatnot, and we have a chat. So then, whilst I'm chatting with him, Pastor Raf, so I chat with him and I finish up, and Pastor Raf is just sort of waiting for me. He finishes up, he goes, then Pastor Raf comes up to me, and he just looks me in the eye, goes like, are you okay with that? So me, I'm always oblivious to everything. I'm like, huh? And he's like, Ruru, are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? As he's walking around, he's limping. I'm like, nah, this makes me angry. Like, you know, how can a guy who's such an anointed musician have arthritis in his hands? I'm like, that's just an attack from the enemy, you know? Then he goes, so what are we going to do about it? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, oh, we could pray and fast. He goes, yeah. Then he goes, okay, dude, so go away. Think about what you're going to do and get back to me and we'll do it. So me, I go away, think about it. I'm like, get back to him. I'm like, so Pastor Raf, okay, let's do this. I'm thinking, let's fast for 21 days. You know, we'll skip like breakfast or lunch or something like that. Then, you know, with his beautiful and lovely smile and calm voices, hey, Ruru, I was thinking more like 3 days, nothing. I'm like, and I'm like, dear Jesus. I'm like, I've never done a nothing fast in my life. But then at that moment, I'm like, look, I'd rather a nothing fast and, you know, get out of the way quickly type thing. So I agreed. And I remember, so I think we fasted Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I would stop eating on a Monday and get back to eating on a Friday. Ooh, that was some I remember day one, literally, I can still see it up to now. That's how traumatized I was. Like, you know, going up to the fridge and finished eating, closing it. I'm like, fridge, I am shutting you and I'll see you on Friday. I'm not going to open you. I'm literally not going to open you. That was crazy. And yeah, shut the fridge. And I remember asking Pastor Raf, I'm like, okay, then when I get really hungry, what do I do? Then he goes, that hunger pang you get when you're fasting, that's your cue to pray. I'm like, wow, what a man of God. Can get away with anything. Anyway, so we start fasting day one. So the thing is, I work in an operational job at Crown in Events. So my days on average consist of at least 12,000 steps, back, forth, back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. So, you know, there's not much energy coming in. So, you know, day one, we go, okay. But then I was struggling. But then I decided, okay, God, let's compromise. I can have a chai latte at least, something with some sort of carbs. Did that. Day one. Day two, went all right. Sort of settled into it. Because normally the first day is difficult. Second day, you settle into it. Third day, my body's just going like, what are you doing to us? What are you doing? Like, no jokes. I remember being at work. And literally, that's when you kind of realize you're heavy. Because I'm literally dragging my body. Yeah, because there's no energy. You know, but at the same time, with every drag, I'm going like, this is my prayer.
Yeah.
This is my prayer. I may not have words, but heal him. Yeah. Heal him.
Yeah. Wow.
Come rest. So then anyway, we finished up that fast. Then I think when we finished the fast, then we went and visited him. And, you know, and nothing crazy happened on the day. Went and visited him, gathered around and prayed with him and his wife. And then I just got told by Pastor Raf, just make sure you don't dive straight into food. Otherwise, your stomach will hate you. Yeah, it's not used to digesting, so just be careful. So I didn't dive back into food. Could only start with soup or something, which is annoying after not eating for like 4 days. I just wanted ribs, you know. Yeah, clearly I love ribs. But then, somewhere along the line, maybe a couple of months later, I hear a story. Like, Prabhu happens to go to church, which he would, and goes to a prayer meeting. Then other guys are there and just decide, nah, same thing, we've had enough of this. So you've got to understand his arthritis was bad. Then they gave him medication that made it worse to the point where he's losing cartilage in one of his legs. So one leg just became shorter than the other. So these guys are sitting there and they're going like, nah, this ain't cool. We're going to pray for healing right now. And they prayed for his healing, and his leg literally grew out.
Come on.
Look, I'm sharing this story. He got healed. Got healed, his back pain and everything and whatnot. And I'm sharing the story to just encourage you that sometimes some of the things we're believing for are just on the end of us getting low before God, getting sacrificially low. It's literally that simple, but it'll cost you. But welcome to Christianity. Salvation is free. Walking with Jesus costs you everything. It just is what it is. So humility. So yeah, humility will always lead to consecration. And consecration will always lead to demonstration.
Come on. Brilliant.
That's just how the kingdom of God works. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's
good.
So then in line with that also, just want to actually make an announcement that one of the things we felt on the Lord's heart to do as a location is that with every Wednesday that we'll do a local prayer every month, we're actually going to include prayer and fasting in that.
Yeah, that's good.
So that one Wednesday is a day where we'll just corporately fast as a location. So how good would it be to fast all day, then break your fast around 4, then walk into a prayer meeting in the evening? Just imagine how epic it would be.
Yeah,
so we want to make the culture of prayer and fasting normal. So that's what's going to be happening. And there'll be more details about that coming up on social media and all our other links. Is that all right?
Yeah,
but look, God wants to rest in the West.
Brilliant.
He just wants to rest in the West. But there's conditions. For him to look upon us, we must humble ourselves.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
That's right.
Then, oh boy, time is flying. Put an African on the alt on the platform. That's what you get. Sorry, Pastor Dave. Anyway, then the second condition is he asks us to tremble at his word.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. I recently, again, decided that I need to shed a few kilos. So I decided to look for a program that will allow me to achieve that. And the end goal of that program is just fat loss. So I did all the maths and everything, and it's a 16-week program. It requires me to go to the gym 4 days a week. And those 4 days a week are made up of 60 to 90-minute workouts, vigorous ones. It also comes with a dietary requirement. Like, you know, it takes me, I think it takes about 3,000 calories for me to maintain my own body weight. So I need to drop that down to like 2,200, 2,400 consistently over time. Some cheat notes for you right there if you're on the same journey as me. But then it also requires me to drink 3 to 4 liters of water and 8 to 9 hours of sleep. So I remember, like, you know, I'm sort of transcribing this program into an app that I use. And I am just like literally looking at him like, man, this is demanding. But at the same time, if this is going to work, I need to take full inventory of this and actually count the cost. Wow. Do you know what was happening there? Yeah. I was trembling at that program. Yeah. Yeah. I was giving it a response it's worth off. Here's the thing. God requires the same of us when he handles his word.
Yeah, wow.
That's how you tremble at God's word. And Isaiah 66 verse 1 to 2 in the Message version literally says, but here is something I'm looking for. A person simple and plain, reverently responsive to what I say. Trembling at his word is not only just reading it and hiding it in your heart, but actually responding to it with action.
Yeah.
When you're willing to respond to his word with action, God can rest. He's got something to partner with. Yeah. You've built infrastructure.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
And you know why we must tremble at his word too? Guess what the word says? Because God himself is the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
God himself is the word. John 1 verse 1 puts it this way. In the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. His word is life-giving. He himself is life-giving. Psalm 119, 11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you.
Yeah.
When you hide him who is the word in your heart, your heart gets tested. When your heart gets tested, all that comes out is him.
Yeah, wow.
I'm just going to repeat that.
Yeah.
When you hide him who is the word in your heart, when your heart gets tested, all that comes out is Jesus.
Yeah. Mm.
Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. God himself will guide you. He'll give you the steps you need and he'll give you the vision you need. So those are the two conditions that God has given us, because I believe with all of my heart that we're in an opportune season where if we seize the moment, God will do something amazing, that you set up actual, it's beyond us. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not even thinking about what I'm going to see in 5 years. I'm thinking about what's going to happen in generations in 50 yeah. years' time, because that's what godly vision looks like. And that's what I'm here to sow into.
Come on,
Bruce. I'm not here to sow into my ministry. I don't care about that. I just care about Jesus getting his reward.
Yeah, come on.
But with that, I must get low.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only way it's going to work. I need the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask for the band to come up right now. And one of the things we do as a prophetic team globally, one of the things we've been trained to do is that every now and then we'll gather and pray and ask God to give us vision for our locations, what he's doing. Then on receiving that vision, you know, I'll sit down with like Pastor Stacy, and if you feel if it's the Lord, it's good, then I'll sit down with Pastor Dave and Sonia and go like, hey, this is what God is doing, because they're the apostles. Like, if this resonates with you, how are we going to outwork this? That's part of how I get to serve. And I remember that time going to pray, and I had a vision. And in this vision, I saw people, so my mind is very pictorial. I saw people like on ground level drilling for water.
Wow.
They were drilling for water. They were really, 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 really searching for water. And then whilst they were searching for water, then the Lord showed me what was below the ground. It was a massive reservoir of water, like underground water, that had been there, that had collected over years. And as they were drilling, they actually hit the underground source. And then when they hit the underground source, that water came flashing out, and it kept on overflowing and overflowing and overflowing. And all of the land could come and drink from that.
Wow.
And God was like, this is the West.
Come on.
God was like, this is the West. This is where revival literally started in Australia. And I'm inviting you guys to redig those wells of revival. You know, I mean, God is inviting us. What was a ceiling for our forefathers? God is inviting us to take that as our ground. It's where we start. But we must humble ourselves and dig. You know? And that was then COVID came in. You know, and it's amazing that COVID came in and it forced us to pray. What the enemy meant for evil, God used for good. Ah, oh, the Lord is amazing. Then recently, I was driving this year, maybe 3-4 months ago, I was driving to the city. And as I was driving down Point Cook Road, about to get on the freeway, it's kind of scary when God shows you visions whilst you're driving. I'm going like, this could end bad. But anyway, I saw this vision of just massive angel, like really massive, just standing at this corner. And I remember going like, wow, okay. Then I asked the Lord, I'm like, what's that about? Then he said, this is an angel I've deployed to the West. He's waiting for prayers. He's waiting for prayers. He's waiting to receive prayers, so he's got something to act on. And it encouraged me, because I'm going like, God, you're actually willing to move on our behalf. But at the same time, it challenged me, because it made me just examine my own prayer life. And going like, am I actually really that given to prayer? Just let that sink in. Could it be that with the Sunshine Revival, all that came about was that they humbled themselves and prayed for 9 years. And because they decided to go low and rest, God decided to rest amongst them. 97 years later, here we are. We're the benefactors of people deciding to humble themselves and pray. We wouldn't be there if they hadn't taken that action. 9 years. 9 years of prayer. I mean, think about it. Even within the theme of Pentecost, they got told to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And their waiting probably was prayer. They humbled themselves. That's a humility right there, to just go, you know what? We don't know what this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to look like, but we'll wait for it anyway, you know? And God showed up and rested on them, literally rested on them with tongues of fire. And recently, very close to home, this actually really broke my heart. I was watching the news and there was the news about the kids who got into a school fight in Sunshine. And one of them got stabbed with a machete and died. And I'm like, God has given us responsibility in this area. And I was looking at that, I'm like, the gospel is needed. Like, that stuff is demonic, and the only answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we will only, nothing will happen unless we humble ourselves and pray. Because our responses to things like that should come from a position of prayer. It's only when we pray and we hear the Holy Spirit, that's when you stand up and go, because you're filled with boldness to witness the gospel. You're filled with the anointing that breaks yokes. But you must humble yourself. I look at all of this and it breaks my heart, and I'm just going like, God, could it be this is why we are where we are right now, planted here? Could this be the reason why Pentecost was given? Because, yeah, let's celebrate it, and I love it. But it's power to witness. It's power to witness. Let's never forget that. But it can only be received by those who are lowly and humble. So, I just want to see what God wants to do with this. I'm going to invite everyone to a response of some sort.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.